They were worth standing for, but nothing worth standing for more than the Word of God. Psalm chapter 85, when you found it, just go ahead and stand in honor of the Word of God if you're able. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 7. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Notice verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. I want to speak on the topic, the day mercy met truth. The day mercy met truth. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the souls that have been saved in and through its message. We thank you, Lord, you have one message for all mankind. You have one mode of salvation, the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary for all who live and breathe. And I pray that, Lord, since you're not willing that any soul should ever perish, but that all should come to repentance, I pray this day there won't be a lost person exit this auditorium. Lord, please help anyone here today without you to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, be with Christians, and I pray that you'll strengthen them, encourage them, be everything to them that they need for you to be. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Have you ever wondered what it would have been like to live in Old Testament times? I often have thought of that. What would be wonderful in the sense of seeing, actually being there in the land of milk and honey. You visited the battlefields that were very, very famous, infamous names in the annals of U.S. history. Washington stood there, and Cornwallis got beat there, and this happened, and this happened, and Nathan Hale, and Patrick Henry, and all the great speeches that have been made. John Hancock, his big signature, made sure that the blind King of England could see that big John Hancock that he put on the Declaration of Independence. But go back to Jerusalem and see cities like Jerusalem, Jericho, Bethlehem, to go and see great leaders where they've been and where they perhaps are buried, men like Moses, Joshua, Abraham, David, and others. What a sight to see, to realize and imagine again the greatness of David's kingdom and the beauty of Solomon's temple there in Jerusalem. You can still take a tour along the western wall and you can see the foundation stones of that temple that was made and those stones that were laid in Solomon's day. And you wonder, those things would be impossible to move today with all of our modern equipment. How did they get moved way back there in that day? But those things would make living there in Old Testament times pretty exciting. But how'd you like to live under Old Testament laws and government? You say, oh, that wouldn't be so bad. Let me just read a few of them. For irreverence, 2 Kings 2, verse 23 through 25, what's the penalty? Death. Adultery, Leviticus 20, verse 10, death. Fornication, 1 Corinthians 10, 8, death. Stealing, Deuteronomy 24, 7, death. Blasphemy, Matthew 12 and verse 31, death. Rebellion, here's a good one, young people. Jeremiah 18, 20, death. Perversion, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, death. Murder, Genesis 9, 6, death. Just about any kind of sin, death. Wow. You say, what kind of a day would that have been? A typical day in Old Testament times under Old Testament law. The law demanded truth. And when truth disclosed a breaking of the law, death was quite often the result. As long as men kept the law, there was peace. Proverbs 14 and verse 34, first part of that verse, says, righteousness exalteth a nation. But the last part of that verse, when man did that which was right in their own sight, there was unrighteousness and judgment also. And the Bible said, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Can I say this? That was Old Testament times, but sin is still a reproach to any people. What brought about the day that mercy met truth, as we read in that verse in the opening? Well, first of all, strict obedience to the law was mandatory. You cleared and checked very carefully everything you did with the law. You feared God and the consequences of sin way too much to be careless about the way you chose to do things. You guarded your mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Every time you open your mouth, men can look right into your heart. You ever hear somebody or get around somebody, it seems like all they want to do is use double words? They could be taken clean or they could be taken off color, off center. And you've got to sit there and try to discern and decipher based on the character of the guy that's talking. Did he mean that clean or did he mean that in a filthy manner? And that's not the kind of language we ought to have come out of our mouth. You watched your dress styles. Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. I used to say sometimes, well, unfortunately, a lot of times in these days you see women wearing pants, wearing that which pertains to a man. I said, praise the Lord, you don't see guys running around wearing culottes. Can't say that anymore. They wear that and a whole lot worse. Well, 1 Corinthians 11, 14-15, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man hath long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given as a covering. You know, it's amazing. The further away from God that a man gets, the more he looks like a woman. The further away from a woman further away from God that a woman gets, the more she looks like a man. And all the roles start getting reversed. Now, there's people sitting in the church pews, and they don't like that kind of preacher, and they get angry, go ahead and kill the preacher. It doesn't touch the truth. The truth is the truth. And, you know, I'll say this. One thing Brother Vineyard used to say all the time, hey, if the truth hurts, you need the hurt. There were some things Dad told me, and he knew, boy, this is going to hurt. Well, it hurt. But it didn't hurt near as much as what happened if I didn't obey what he said was the truth. Now that hurt. How about examples like Aaron's sons, Hophni and Phinehas? They offered strange fire before the Lord and suffered immediate death. Those were the sons of the high priest. Herod blasphemed God and suffered immediate death. Now, those things were promised by the Lord. You do this, I'll do this. They did it. God did it. They put God in a killing mood. God killed them. Now, I'll say this. It did not kill the truth of the Word of God. It didn't touch the Word of God or harm that in the slightest. They went ahead and realized God said what he meant, and he meant what he said. You say, are there still people like that today? Well, Romans 3:23, for the wages of sin is death. It's still true. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There have been preachers, even in our day, like Dr. J. Frank Norris. He was a fearless fighter of the faith, a fearless Baptist preacher. You either loved him or you hated him. And he had a lot of people that did both and were in both camps. It didn't bother J. Frank Norris any. He was going to tell the truth whether you liked it or not. He often warned of sin and its wages. People often chose to make fun of him or ridicule him or even attack him for doing so. One Sunday morning, an insurance agent who had been openly critical of J. Frank Norris was T-boned by a train trying to race him across the tracks, and this guy died doing so. Norris went to the scene of the wreck, scraped off some of that insurance man's brains off the interior of the vehicle that was wrecked, brought it back to church that night, set it right up on the pulpit, and preach, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Really harmed the church service, didn't it? No. There were multitudes of people getting saved and getting things right. Sometimes things have to be brought abruptly before people, before they can see not just the judgment of God, but the mercy of God at the same time. There were many saved that night. Another thing, full payment of sin was essential. Offerings of sin atonement must be properly made. There were offerings for the rich, offerings for the poor. You'll remember Joseph and Mary's offering of two turtle doves and a pigeon. Those were offerings given by the very poor. Those are the earthly parents of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They gave that offering upon his birth. There's a first fruits offering, sin offering, sweet savor offering, and on they went. Offerings always had to contain blood. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Offerings pictured the supreme sacrifice that one day God would provide in the offering of his own son upon the cross of Calvary. I remember driving through the state of New Jersey on one occasion. I was in some really slow-moving traffic and didn't know what the blockage was up above, but I saw over here was a side road, and I thought, I could take the side road and get around this. Well, I got on the side road and went up and found out I was in a cemetery. And the reason everything was going slow is because this long line was pulling into the cemetery and they were parking up there. So I really got myself in a bind. I mean, I was stuck. And I thought, oh, boy, I tell you what, I'm just going to stay back here like that. I couldn't go backwards. All that was blocked. Ahead of me was blocked. So I got out and said, I'll just walk through the cemetery so as not to be any kind of a disturbance to the service going on ahead, graveside service. And I walked along, and I was looking at the headstones. I came to one, and it said, "One day from heaven, an angel was missing. Death about the earth did roam. Till it found our little darling, and the angels carried him home." I looked at the dates of that, and there was a little boy's marker who wasn't quite 3 years of age. I envisioned in my mind there, Brother Mosley, weeping parents, weeping family. At the age of three, probably weeping grandparents. A child died there. That was a place of sadness, death. No doubt something he wasn't even responsible for. But death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And that little boy paid the consequences of man who sinned years and years before. We don't like it, but death is present. And judgment was enacted there, not judgment on that little boy. Death is just a natural part of life. It took it. Now, was sitting there thinking about all these different things. If the death angel found you today, where would you be spending eternity? I was just in a church. A six-year-old child had just passed away. At Trinity, they've been praying for that Montsabais girl out there in Arizona on the Navajo Indian Reservation. Young lady grew up in Arlington. She married a Navajo boy, and they're out there doing a work for the Lord in her low 20s, facing death. We don't always know when death is going to come calling. I had no idea my wife would precede me in death, and sometimes, humorously, we'd get in an argument. Don't get any ideas of leaving before me. That's not at all what I'm planning. I'm going first. Well, hon, if you go first, how am I supposed to be? God will take care of your needs. God will meet your needs. God will do this. I told her what all God would do. I walked away and said, you will do that, won't you, Lord? You'll make sure she's taken care of and everything. I actually have no idea what I'm going to do. And then wouldn't you know it, she did not listen to a word I said. And she left before me. I come to a realization almost every day of my life, Brother Mosley, I was not as grateful as I should have been. I had it all do over. I thank her for every meal, every part of every meal. I thank her for even getting after me for spilling some coffee that didn't make it into the cup. I wouldn't look at it anymore as a bother. I'll get it. My dad used to say, some things take time. Every wife here has probably heard their husband say, I'll get around to it. My wife gave me a little piece of wood about the size of a 50-cent piece one day. I think somebody here in this church, now that I think of this illustration, gave me a round to it on my way out. It's a little piece of wood. You just look at it and it's round. And it says, T-U-I-T, to it. Well, what's a to it? Oh, it is round. It's a round to it. My wife kept those, and any time I'd ever say, I'll get, she'd reach in her pocket, go ahead and say it. I wouldn't even finish the statement. I knew what was coming. That round to it was coming. You just keep that round to it to yourself. Well, you get that window fixed, or you get that lawn mowed, or whatever. Can I say this? One day, truth, that was judgment, saw the birth of mercy, that was grace and forgiveness. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Judgment was looking down on that. And who was that that was born there? Well, His name is Grace and Truth. And the birth of Jesus Christ took place in Bethlehem. Jesus was full of grace. That's mercy. And He was full of truth. That's judgment. Sin still needed to be paid for. Truth or judgment still requires full payment. Mercy arrived and marked that judgment, paid in full at Calvary. At Calvary, there were three crosses that day when Jesus died. One died in sin. Remember how He resisted? He died in his sin, went to hell. A second thief died to sin. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't say that you guys will be with me. He said to the one who called Him Lord, you will be with me this day. And then praise the Lord for Jesus Himself. He died for our sin. Only person who ever could or ever did do such a thing as that. Now, the difference between truth or judgment and grace, mercy, or unmerited favor. Think of Achan in the battle of Ai, Joshua 7, verse 22 to 26. Achan coveted and stole the gold, the silver, the Babylonish garment. The truth required his and his family's death. King Saul partially obeyed God, which means he completely disobeyed God. Truth took his kingdom and gave it to David, and eventually it cost the lives of King Saul and all of his sons. That couple that was caught in adultery in the camp of Israel, Numbers chapter 25, truth moved Phinehas to run both the man and the woman through with a sword and kill them both. They sinned, adultery, boom. They were both immediately killed. Now, we go to John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Mercy stared truth in the face right here. I'll make a way for this one to be forgiven. Remember what happened? Here was Jesus. All of a sudden, a bunch of people came running to him. We found this woman in the act of adultery, in the very act. I've got a question. Where was the man? Never have sorted that one out. Brought the woman. Caught her in the very act. There should be a man somewhere around. Well, they brought the woman and they said, what do you say about this, Lord? The law says she's supposed to die. They were very knowledgeable about what the law required. They were all the time bringing these circumstances to the Lord. What do you say about this, Lord? What do you say about this? In case they answered in a way they didn't like, they would use the law against him. And who is he? He is the law. He is grace. He is mercy, all in one person. He is the Word that became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, that's mercy, and truth, that's judgment, all in one person. So they bring it to him and say, what are you going to do? You remember the story. He just went ahead and got down on a knee, started writing something in the sand. And he said, you guys are right. You're right. She deserves to die. But here's the way we're going to do it. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And the Bible said, beginning at the oldest, going down to the youngest, thump, 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 stones started landing on the ground. Nobody threw a stone that day. The Lord looked up, wasn't anybody left in the firing squad. And the Lord said, no man condemns you. She said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That was when truth, we want her dead, met grace, said, go. Sin no more. The Bible goes on to tell us that there comes a time when all of a sudden mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace, the Bible said, have kissed each other. Where did that take place? I would assume that was the cross of Calvary. Mercy and righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Psalm 85:11, truth shall spring out of the earth and righteousness shall look down from heaven. John 14:6 says this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Truth sprang out of the earth at the resurrection. Righteousness was watching down from heaven. Friend, have you ever tasted of his mercy? Have you ever tasted of the mercy of the Lord? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have. It's not about a feeling. It's not about a sensation. It's about a realization. I deserve to die. I'm guilty. My sin is the wages of death. Somebody paid those wages for me. That was Jesus Christ. When the Lord looks at us, He doesn't see our sin account anymore. We've asked him to come and apply his blood to our heart, our life, and receive him as our personal Savior. I pray that every person in here has done that this morning. If you haven't, you need to come and you need to meet up with the one who's called Grace and Mercy. He will take care of the truth of the judgment that awaits those without Christ. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning you'll speak to hearts far better than I could. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll awaken every man, every woman, every young person to their eternal need of Jesus Christ.